Blog Talk Radio.
Has experienced with like technical difficulty. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for another Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. You know, so many things going on in my atmosphere all around us. We like to come and bring you a show that's straight, raw, real, allow us to deal with different concepts, theological concepts, if you will. And thanks to you. You have kept this show alive. You have allowed us to continue to press our way into the presence of the Lord and continue to spread the gospel through this medium, through this worldwide platform. So we thank you for that. We would be remiss if we ever went into any serious undertaking without invoking the blessings of deity. So let us just first have a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, this time that you've anointed and appointed for us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the ability to just press our way in your presence. Thank you for giving us activity of our limbs, for allowing us another day of cohesion, giving us thought, giving us the ability to just continue to pursue after your presence. So we praise you and we worship you and we thank you now. We ask God that you be with us during times that are financially challenging, during times where our resources run low. But, oh, praise be to you, oh, Lord, that our resources still don't run out because you're keeping us, you're blessing us, and you're sustaining us. So, God, we just lift our hands to you, and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, I'm really ecstatic. I'm elated, actually, because I have the ability to stand in John's shoes. And every single opportunity that I have to come before you in this platform and just talk to you, I count it an honor and a blessing. Because truthfully, many things don't have to come into our lives that give us the ability to do the work that God has called us to do. Truth be told, the kingdom of Satan is very adversary against our efforts. The moment that our potential is realized, something somewhere or someone is already attempting to assassinate your assignment before it even begins. But listen, I want to continue speaking on a topic and a subject that we have been talking about before. I told you as we started the, as we ended last year and we started this year, we talked about living our blessed life. Living our blessed life. Excuse me. We talked about living our blessed life because there's a urban vernacular expression. It comes from a song by Lil Duval, Snoop Doggy Dogg, that says living our best life. Well, I don't want us to give the wrong impression of what our mission is and what we're trying to do, but instead allow us to see a biblical or, if you will, a spiritual example rather than a worldly one. So rather than living our best life or seemingly having the privilege to do anything or everything outside of having a moral moral code. Instead, we just prefer to say that we're living our best life, blessed life, living our blessed life. So, if you will, for a few missing moments, we're going to continue on with this series, living our blessed life. I ain't going back and forth with you Christians. Today I'm talking about I ain't going back and forth with you Christians. So we're coming from the book of Mark, the 10th chapter. I'm just going to really read this, and I want to give you something to think about as we ponder on this subject. The Bible reads from Mark 10 and 46. I'm sorry, let's go to Mark 10 and 48. The Bible reads, "And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" That's actually the highlight of our text. Now let's read the entire text so we can get an understanding of everything that's going on, and we'll see why it's highlighted and what our central thought is for this evening. Verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting along the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And a blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight." The reason why we focus in on verse 48, "And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me,' is because there's somebody right now, there's somebody right now that has once upon a time been out in the world in the highways and the byways. They've fallen down numerous times throughout their lives. During their journey, they experienced many heartaches, many situations where they tried to do the wrong thing, but the right thing, but the wrong thing happened. Matter of fact, Paul, although he was a very powerful apostle, he said that when I would to do good, evil was present. And so here it is, we might really intend in our hearts to do well, but it's just something about the fallibility of man that causes us to sometimes slip. So even though he slipped, he recognized that it's not me trying to do it, but it's the sin that works within me. And so because the sin works within me, I recognize that I need a Savior. The only way that you can overcome sin is that you have a Savior. And so because we have a Savior and we believe in him, receive him, then therefore we are saved. But understand that it's not that you don't sin no more, but it's simply your sins have been covered. So now, excuse me, somebody else have been around Jesus. They come and they've gotten their blessing. They've received their covering. But now that they've received their covering, it's just something about somebody else coming to receive theirs that suddenly causes us to feel anguish, have the crab in the barrel mentality, the tendency to want to prevent somebody else from getting theirs. And come on, this complex has been around for a very long time. You flip back over and look at the story of Jonah. The real reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is because Jonah had this issue inside of his spirit that they weren't good enough. The Ninevites weren't good enough to be saved or good enough to receive the blessings of God. They were not good enough to hear this message for them to repent and otherwise fall into the good graces and favor. So within his own self-righteous justification, he tends to judge. And he did the main thing that Matthew 7 teaches us not to do: judge not, lest we be judged. See, then he judged from a position of hypocrisy, because you once upon a time were living in those same sins, had those same thought processes, had those same friends, and hung out in the same places, and you wasn't even thinking about God, and you fell away from God, and you found yourself in a place in dissonance with him. But now all of a sudden you've gotten yourself together. You don't want to see nobody else get theirs. Here it is, this blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. He stood on the side of the road. Now, he was a beggar. And beggars tend to want something that they didn't work for. And for whatever reason, find themselves in a very precarious position in which they've come to be at the expose or the prerogative of other people. Because if nobody ever give you anything but you a beggar, you never receive resources. But if you a beggar and someone gives to you out of the kindness of their heart, they allow you to receive a resource that you didn't work for. Oh, come on, some of us, we tend to look down on those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We look at the welfare system. We look at numerous people who are financially in financial hardship, and we tend to cast our judgment. But see, we see everything that they went through, but do you know the story? Let's flip it around. Even people that have bountiful blessings, people that may have received so many awesome blessings to come in their lives. You see the glory, but do you know the story? So we tend to judge, or we tend to aspire, or we tend to desire things, and we don't even know what it took to get there. I want to tell you today that my ex-wife used to say this all the time. She used to look at other people's relationships, and she'd look at social media. And one of the things that she'd say is, I want a relationship like that. I want to have this relationship like they have. And I used to argue, you don't know the relationship they have. You don't know, because everybody on Facebook is not who they post to be. We post smiles, and we post money and cars, and we post businesses, and we post the good side of life. We post that everything is all right. We post that we live in a good life. We post that we live in the best life. We post all of these things, but the reality is you don't know what it took to get there. Matter of fact, and is it exactly what I'm posting it to be? So we look at the glory, we don't know the story. You don't know how happy a couple is and why you aspiring after what they have. You don't know how many times he cheated and she walked away, or how many times she was frustrated and wanted to throw in a towel. You don't know how many times it was anguish and hardships that happened in their lives. We just see the glory, but we don't know the story. We see this man begging on the side of the road, and then we just begin to judge him. His journey is not the same as my journey, but I still want to judge him. His journey doesn't look like mine. He didn't come into knowing Christ the same way he did. Don't nobody really care from a spiritual perspective exactly where you come from. If you're spiritually mature, what you should care about is where they're going. I'll say that again. You should not care so much about where they come from. You should care about where they're going. I know she used to be a prostitute. I know he used to hang out on the street corners. I know he once upon a time wore his hair like he didn't care and his pants hanging below his backside. I know once upon a time he was abusive. I know once upon a time he did drugs. I know once upon a time he had a filthy mouth, filthy communication. He had a filthy mind. I know he was an addict. I know he was afflicted. I know he was addicted, confused. I know that once upon a time you couldn't talk sense into him. Once upon a time, only thing he did was chase money and drugs, and he didn't care about God. Once upon a time, he was something other than what he wants to be, or other than what he is now. But we judge and we prevent those because of our self-righteousness. And the reality is, we find ourselves going back and forth with people in their journey, turning them away and causing them to be hurt. And people who are church hurt, they evangelize more than we who are Christians are evangelized. What am I saying? We're supposed to get out there and go into the highways, the byways, and compel them to come into the household of faith. We're supposed to go and give them a word. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw man unto myself. But instead of lifting up Jesus, we lift up judgment, self-righteousness. We look down our noses with pride and indignation. We look down on our fellow man. But one of the things that I love about this man, and I'm hoping that we can see something here and glean it for our own personal strength and spiritual development, is as this man was crying out to Jesus, the Bible says in verse 48, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. There's so many people that want to hinder your blessings by silencing you. There's so many people that want to just cut you off before you even begin to have that contact, before you can come into communication, before you can come into connection with Christ Jesus. They already want to cut off your blessing. That's the reason why you go to church sometimes. You find people sitting on the same pew talking about you, looking at you funny, all in your business. Their lives are 10 times worse than yours, but they cast judgment on you. And then eventually what happens? You get this bad feeling because of these bad seeds that's been planted in your heart. You allow them to germinate and take root, and ultimately you find yourself, what, falling away from church. You don't want to believe no more. You tried that Jesus thing and it don't work, and ultimately you find yourself in a place disconnected from God where you can't hear from him, you can't receive from him, you can't believe him, your faith can't grow, things can't begin to come into your life because God has been cut off from you, or you actually have been cut off from God. But see, here it is, this man, he didn't even have a conversation with them. I want y'all to hear this today. He did not focus on those who were trying to silence him and rebuke him, but instead he made his call even more so to God. that ought to minister to somebody today. While people are trying to step on your hopes, step on your dreams, while people are trying to ostracize you and shut you out and cut you off, while people are trying to put you in a position where they're trying to remove you or block you from getting your blessing, the reality is your desperation ought to be to desire Jesus even more. Imagine this blind man. He heard Jesus. And watch this. He reached out to so many other resources before. As a beggar, he depended on other people to pour their resources, or if I can say, the excess of their resources to pour into him. Let me show you what that looks like. It looks like, look, can you spare some extra change? I'm going to talk to you today. Everybody don't, what is extra change? What is some extra money? What is an extra sandwich, if you will? What is your extra? If I look around the world today, the government is shut down, and I look at the fact that the job market is so low, it's hard to get a job right now, so unemployment is up. Here's where the housing market is failing, and the economy is failing because the stock market is down, businesses aren't thriving, and the Small Business Administration is reporting that small businesses aren't beginning to pop up half as much as they used to before under this administration. What does that mean? That means it's so hard out here. Just as they say, on good times, scratching and surviving, hanging and enjoying. It's hard for us to get to that point. We can't move on up to the east side like the Jeffersons did because everything around me is collapsing. And I dare have need of your excess. What does that even mean? So during a time in which right now nobody even has access, imagine a bum, a beggar, if you will, a vagrant on the side of the road asking you or begging you for what you don't even have. So if you definitely don't have it, imagine how much he failed to receive it. So in this man's desperation, in his state of being destitute, they looked at him and instead of helping him, instead of ushering him into the presence of the one that they know would give him or be able to provide his blessing, what they do, they silence him. I want to tell somebody today that these people right here would be the equivalent of church folk. Notice I didn't say the church, because the church is the ecclesia of the called out one. But notice I said that these would be church folk. See, church folk is an urban kind of ecclesiastical expression, if I'm speaking in the vernacular in church terms here, to identify those who walk around parading about pretending to be spiritual, but meanwhile they're just religious. Can I talk to you? They're just religious. And Jesus ain't had time for religious folk. Every time that he was at a temple, he was always being approached by those scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, the main ones who was supposed to be well astute in the word of the law, the main ones that were supposed to know the word of God, the main ones that were supposed to be the studiers and supposed to be the thinkers, the intellectual ones, the scholars of the word, the main ones who were supposed to be teaching, directing, and giving leadership and spiritual matters before their people are the main ones that Jesus rebuked the most. Study that. Hear me. Those were the ones he rebuked the most. He was always approached, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, the religious people of his day. And he always went back to the word on them. He always taught them, you know, did you not learn, or have you not heard, or is it not recorded in the word? If you go back through your word of God, you'll find that many times, especially when you see it in all caps, Jesus is actually quoting scripture. Oh, come on, when he was hanging on the cross and he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that was him quoting scripture. Many different times Jesus was speaking, he was referring back to the scripture because he showed them their ignorance. And once again, we can see right here the ignorance of different people, because instead of allowing them to take on the mindset of Christ, to champion the cause of Christ, instead what they did, they took on the ignorance of a very selfish and self-righteous mentality. Instead of ushering him into the presence of Jesus, they cut him off. They told him to shut up, and they rebuked him. So what does that look like? Not only did they tell him, be silent, but they rebuked him. They more than just told him to be quiet. I can imagine them, if I use my spiritual imagination, them beginning to talk negatively about. So hold on, how much negative can it get that you're blind and you're a beggar and you're dependent on other people? How much worse can it be now you're talking about me and you're scandalizing my name and you're stepping on me? And truthfully, we can act self-righteous all we want to, but this is the thing that happens in the church all the time. In our self-righteousness, our self-righteous indignation, we find ourselves frowning down upon different people. Look at her come up in here with a dress like that and her fishnet stockings. Look at her. She won't even comb the boy's hair. Look at her trying to analyze what's going on in different people's households. But the reality is your heart not right. You're in a place of judgment, not in a place of mission, and not in a place of commission. Because if you had been in a place of mission and commission, you would try to help rather than hinder somebody from getting their blessing. And so here it is. I think this man, if I could term it this way in modern day times, I think he would say, you know what? I ain't going back and forth with you Christians. I'm not going back and forth with you. He didn't even give conversation to those trying to silence him, rebuke him, and keep them from getting Christ Jesus. But he would pursue all the more after the presence of Jesus Christ. Right here it says, but he cried out all the more. Now notice when he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David gives a messianic title indicating that he knew that, one, this man was of the lineage of David, two, that he was the chosen one from the lineage of David that would come and actually have all power in his hand. As we look at Jesus, we understand that he's God wrapped up in flesh. And as a member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as a member of the Trinity, he embodies all of the power thereof because his deity, his essence is still deity. And so if he have all power in his hand, and I recognize that not only is this man the Messiah, the chosen one, but he's more than a man, but he's God wrapped in a man's shell, then I recognize that everything this man has is the same thing that God can provide. Let me say it again like this way so I don't get us confused in our theology here. I recognize that in this man, the Theanthropos, which really means God-man, he is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. So as I recognize who he is, I also recognize that he has all that I need. So in his theology, why is it that in verse 47 he called out Jesus, Son of David? He was right in his theology. He was right in his identification of Jesus, but they shut him down. I can see if he was calling him something other than what he is. I can see if he said Jesus just one of them little minor prophets over there. I can see if he was saying Jesus just somebody I met or one of my homeboys that I hang out, shoot ball with. I can see if he was saying that, but he was saying Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Jesus, you are my wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus, you are my lily in the valley. Jesus, you are my bridge over troubled water. Jesus, you are my all in all. Jesus, you are my everything. Jesus, you are the captain of my salvation. Jesus, you are everything that I need to get me to where I need to be. I'm not safe right now. I'm not secure. Jesus, you have the key to my eternal security. Jesus, you are the main thing that I need to give me everything. So he looks and sees everything that he needs in Jesus. He's not looking at no other resources, and he calls out to them. They try to shut him up. So he calls out to them even more, pressed beyond them telling him to shut up, pressed beyond the rebuke. Come on, Christians. He said, I'm not going back and forth with you. He has a mentality and a spiritual maturity that, like, I know that you don't have a heaven. You don't have a hell to put me in. You don't have a place to reconcile me spiritually. You don't have a place to make propitiation for my sins. You can't atone for me. You can't do nothing for me. Matter of fact, you can't even heal me. You can't even give me my sight back. You don't even have no money for me because you passed me up. You don't even have a heart to allow me to receive that which I need. I ain't talking to you. I'm living my blessed life, and I ain't going back and forth with you Christians. That means that, you know what? I don't need to deal with your heartache. I don't need to deal with your abuse. I don't need to deal with your shunning me. I don't need to deal with your judgment. I don't need to deal with you looking down on me. I don't need to deal with you ostracizing me. I don't have to deal with none of those issues from you because I ain't even talking to you. I'm not going back and forth with you Christians. I dare you in 2019 say, I'm not going back and forth with you Christians. I'm not going back and forth with you self-righteous folk, because truth be told, if we are both children of the same King, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we don't have nothing to argue about anyway. You shouldn't be judging me. You should be helping me get up. I know I fell down. I know my journey not like yours. I know I have times where you want to look at me out the side of your neck or cut your eye over at me because everything is not always peachy king in my life, but the reality is that we serve the same God, so a Christian ain't going to go back and forth with you. But instead, they would be usher you into the presence. Now watch this. Once upon a time, people are going to, they're going to have themselves standing in the way of your blessing. But when you continue to not go back and forth with them, sometimes God will make your enemies your footstool. Sometimes God will make those that once hindered you become your help. Because as they cried out to Jesus, then Jesus heard them. He said, hey, I want you to bring him. He said, watch this. He said, call him. And they called the blind man. So they once told him to shut up. Now Jesus said, call him. And now they ushered him into the presence of the God. I dare you in 2019 decide that you're not going back and forth with folks. You're not arguing with them Christians. You're not dealing with the judgment and the self-righteous indignation. And decide that you're just going to pursue after his presence even more. I submit to you today that we ought to have the mentality that I'm living my blessed life. I ain't going back and forth with you Christians. This has been another Theologically Speaking with your host, Jose Dorsey. Thank you for joining me. As always, I love you all in Christ Jesus, and God bless.
Cover me, Lord, with oh, cover me, Lord, with power.